they only look at implementation to educate, but and have a discussion and see what are the issues that we have to take. Then they will consider it because very, very important for us to have all the groups. The purpose of our meeting today is to allow the community to the public to make presentation on the local housing department that makes the decision to the portfolio committee, and now the portfolio committee has been taking care of the functional requirements for matters. We will try our level best to work on the field of the same sector time for the assistance. If there's anyone who comes tomorrow from the same cave and from around, allow them to make presentation. If they're not around, the written submission also will be able to ask them that alone to understand what that is that they want to do. Also, just to welcome our new member, Honorable Matula. Well, sir. There's one way. This deployment will need some talent, maybe from the shepherd. Well, I think was a very good member of the committee. He went with us very well, and I think those who want them to join the committee, that way he benefited a lot of us. We used to call him anyway, he said, nothing at him proper. Because he wanted to be a traditional leader in Palmolo Street. And he was very hard with us. He posed a lot of questions. He's a very committed South African. Really, the committee, as if you have said that, you will. I know that when Fred was spending sleepless night to see him at any minute, I know that was going to be better with the time of the discussion. Of course, you are mindful also that you will be tabling the report on the current traditional leadership group. We have debated the bill last year, very detailed. The discussion on the bill in detail was submitted to the NSOP proposal. The NSOP has made technical amendments. And then the COVID was defined. We have debated it in detail before it was passed by the National Assembly. There's one item that we have included. All other consequential amendments is an area that takes the community when in the consultation with communities and the community should agree. The majority member of the community should agree whether they approve the business partnership or not. And then it was very talk before it, and then at the Madrid. That it would be a declaration for parties who want to give the declaration. A declaration is not more than 3 minutes. Also can table a report, and then also debated it before. And then once you table a report, the report is taken, which are approved by the House, and then it goes to the President. And then the President, I think, has committed himself to silence. And then therefore, it sends it for the first time. And then you will have a deliberation of the traditional Christian land. I think the landmark has shown it for the first time. We started working on this since 1998. 20 years down the line, we're still working on it, but today, I think I'm presenting it for our first country by the National Assembly. Also, the National Assembly is going to approve it once the application is presented. It's going to sign it. And the report is still being very done. We're waiting and we have a message. We give the great assurance for the team. The National Coordination is going to occupy the Senate. They've been with us all along, working on this since 1998. I think the result of that benefit the customer for amendment 3. And then, immediately after that, I think the President has committed himself to make a decision for them. And then when we are addressing the House of Traditional Leaders, to make commitment that is going to make a decision as possible. Hopefully, it's going to sign before the election. We have been waiting on it. It's a very complex thing. It's not a very complex thing. But I think there's a force on the field that the community was saying it was welcoming. And now we are caught up. Declaration, if you want declaration, you can do it. If again there's no declaration, you need that because you have a debate before you pass this or the file. So then the report will accept the domestic declaration. It's only one amendment. Just community participation can affect them. So if it was one member of the community that passed to approve or not to approve a business deal or partnership with any sector. That's why the mining communities and then that the people should take a decision in the community. So the system that are going to be put in place, the mechanism to ensure that we don't go to Free State and there's so few coming there and sitting there and well, not the name of that community. And then I think we tighten our way of managing it. But at least for the first time, the community will take advantage of it. And we think that is a very important way of work that we should do. But inside, I will support it, you know, the community behavior. Just to avoid the individual meeting there in the traditional sunset take decision to enter into a business partnership. Where the community doesn't benefit anything at all. And then that's the only amendment that the NCOP has in us. On our side, we're saying that the majority of people, I think the NCOP is would be almost 50 plus one members of the community as a meeting when it's that's how the NCOP is. I think very happy. It's not an anti-democratic way of doing business. And I think that's not assist the community. And then I think the coexistence will also be very important. I mean, the defendant has to be welcome. Of course, the beginning of a long process. It's not going to be in peace, but it's going to be the beginning of a long process of verification who the real traditional leader is. And then the community that is going to be sitting up there. And then everyone thinks that all the traditional leader are the room. And then the police sit there, training, story training, and then all information, everything. Just to avoid that the side of the coin is not hijacked by criminal elements. Those who have never been king or on a king, suddenly all of them are claiming that are kings and queens, that will not protect them. They fought for this for years, for not 300 years fighting over it. Therefore, they must be exploited. That's why they issue. Of setting up a coordinating from the council looking at them. I think everyone thinks that was a leader is going to apply. And then you go before the committee. And then must explain himself or herself. And then on many occasions, I know that many of them won't qualify. they've never been adults since they passed. And then I think the situation is going to be and then, okay, when you are ready, we don't have your presentation right now. I think I have for the booking. And surely I think you're going to start. Western Cape, you are making a presentation tomorrow?
Yes,
we will make it tomorrow. But I know that you have spent this entire time. And then, doctors. Okay. We are just waiting for you to have to stop. I'm sure that in 2 minutes' time. Here is the water, the tea, something like that.
Administrator, and we're arguing that administrator by expression is subsection C.
and not A and B. So we've been going to and fro around that debate. So MinMet met last week, and we have now adopted a guideline on how Section 139 should be implemented. And I think we're agreed that a mechanism of intervention needs to be put in place. But that intervention is not an administrator. If it is an administrator, it's an administrator in double cross codes, code that. Because administrators can be speaking, but it is found in Section 3, where the municipality is dissolved. So our view, Chair, on the basis of MINIMAX decision would have been that whilst we are responding to the Constitutional Court ruling on a matter specific, in this case, it would have been prudent of us to use the opportunity of the Constitutional Court ruling to look at the Employment Prostitutes Act and amend where it is satisfied, so that we don't have to come back and look at other matters that are going to cover for our contract. One of those areas is the issues of Section 56, which is going to be a subject of our input. I've spoken about Section 139. Section 56, for instance, I think if you this fund manager is coached, incapacitated for the service she seeks. The law says that the council should appoint an acting fund manager. It's not just practical. There has to be an amendment so that there is stability around it. Now everybody knows that councils are convened once in 3 months, once every second month. So the legislation is basically creating a paralysis in that sense, if it was to be interpreted basically in terms of how we interpret it. So those are the areas in this policy, in our view, that needs to be looked at comprehensively so that we can get done with this. And you know that the issues of concurrence between the minister and the MEC with regard to appointment of Section 56 employees also creates a high degree of uncertainty sometimes, and matters take just too long, and we create instability at municipal level. For instance, if you take 4 or 5 months just to get concurrence from the minister on the decision by the municipality that has gone through a tedious process of selection, assessment, interviews, vetting, and all of that. But it takes 6 months for the minister to compare, or the MEC, rather, and the minister to compare with the municipality and create areas of instability. Section 106 of the Municipal Services Act, among others, seeks to empower a member of the executive council to investigate matters brought to him on allegation of municipal administration of corruption in municipalities. It neither confers that responsibility to the president or the cabinet. It basically says the MEC of comprehensive governments or of local government, once made aware, should. Now, being made aware, and this is a debate between ourselves and the municipality of Ekurhuleni on a similar matter, where being made aware means reading a newspaper story or getting something from the recent law or anywhere else. The mayor of Ekurhuleni was saying that, but MEC means that every time there's a story in the newspaper, they must inform Section 100. And I said, the law says I should do so because I've been made aware. Because legislation says once the MEC is made aware, he or she should consider whether he or she regards those matters as serious. Now, it says the MEC, upon receiving that information, determine the seriousness of the matter, and if he does reach the conclusion that those matters are serious, now this is basically Then I had to stop the NDC to decide whether the mentality that's a lot of us now. A newspaper headline saying mayor has taken allegations that the mayor has done what he did, or which is wrong, or the fund manager, or whatever, is of a serious nature. I think there are ambiguities there that we need to clear up in amendment of the legislation. Application of Section 164 with regards to helping municipalities to recover from financial crisis is critically an area that we need to look very closely, including the role of treasury and cooperative governance. Now, I know there's a memorandum of agreement signed between COFDA at national level, now it's applicable in provinces, where the financial management of municipalities solely a matter that provincial treasuries and national treasuries should concern themselves with, and then COFDA will deal with current issues and so on and so forth. That itself creates an uncertainty, because COFDA will only be aware of either municipalities in the financial district much later than it should. Then the question is, what's the role of COFDA in terms of its constitutional mandate of supporting municipalities? Now, when you discover that municipalities in a dire financial situation, almost a year later, and finance treasury has been dealing with these issues, and often treasury will convene quarterly meetings, it may actually be very late for COFDA to intervene. So I think if that is the case, then we must have expression in the legislation so that it should be treasury that takes responsibility. Treasury must take responsibility in terms of its mandate to oversee municipalities in regard to financial management of stability. One case in point is the investment by municipalities on the mutual banks such as BBS, and I'm sure the others, the matter that is current in our administration, public administration. The question is, where was treasury when municipalities, because they report to treasury on monthly basis, and there are quarterly meetings between municipalities and treasury, where was treasury when such decisions were taken? But treasury is not aware that municipalities were investing in mutual banks against their own, what was that letter called? Regulation or whatever. Yeah. There was a letter that treasury issued to municipalities to restrict municipalities from investing in organizations like mutual bank, in this case, PDS. So you need to look at the entire municipalities act, including municipal finance management act, because you must read them both to ensure that the synergy and we synchronize position will be back to them. And section 135, where in a municipality declares itself to be in a serious financial situation. Now, it declares itself to be in a serious financial situation to COFDA when in actual fact treasury is the one that deals with finances of this right. So who takes responsibility if the municipality has declared itself under section 135 to be in a serious financial situation, and it may have done that with treasury, but no action was taken, and COFDA only becomes aware about that situation when the situation is already dire, and the municipality needs to be put under administration. So I was just putting out areas of Municipal Act, and I'm sure there are others, wherein I think we need a comprehensive process of reviewing Municipal Systems Act to ensure that we remove ambiguities wherever they exist. In this case, I would request my colleague, HOBC as well, to take us through how we can use the methods on the question. We have expressed a view around this, and I think we'll have to find time in the near future to really look at all of this. Our view would have been we should have used the constitutional court ruling opportunity to look at the entire legislation rather than a piecemeal approach. And maybe we may find each other on this. Overall, as you say, the legislation is resolved. We are waiting for elections, so I'm sure post elections, you can really look at it in a much more comprehensive fashion. Thank you very much, Shaka, and we'll take you through our inputs, and I hope that it's going to come. Yeah. All right, we can proceed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for
receiving the word.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honourable members. Thank you to my MEC and HOD.
And just after this, the Chairperson has been copies of our submission.
Okay. All right. Good morning, colleagues. Our approach is we might have had the comments of my MEC here. Correctly pointed out, what we have looked at, although we have many challenges with regard to the Minister of Civil in its entirety, because at provincial level, as I deal directly with municipalities, many of these challenges become scary. In many instances, municipalities ask us, as provinces, what is your role? How do you assist us to make sure that these issues get resolved? So there's quite loud voice from the strategies that they help us to make sure that our environment is assisted, is practical, and we are able to respond and go and move forward on many of those. Regarding this process on amending Section 54, 56, and 57, as outlined in the act. The approach we would have taken is, while we appreciate how we came to where we are now, the approach we have taken is then to say, because there's already problems around how the amendment of the Act itself is giving problems, how do we use this opportunity to then address the many aspects in terms of the only inspection? So that is our our input made there is a process that we have engaged with National on regarding the inputs that we bring to make with this committee on many of the areas around the amendments. There might be issues about the different interpretation of this process between ourselves and National Court. The approach we have taken is that the proposed amendment would need to at least find accommodation in this process so that it assists us to that effect. But we have a number of engagements with our colleagues at National Court and as well as Africa. I'll start with the proposed amendments to Section 54, which is number in the bill, it will be under point number 2 on the substitution of Section 54. What are the additional comments in that regard? Under Section 54, Section 2A, we're proposing that under that section, because in the section it gives proposals to the municipality to have a council to approve the first 3 months of 18 and the MEC to approve the second 3 months of 18. And we then say, because it creates a line and a vacuum after what happens after the first 6 months. We then say then the municipality must apply to the minister via the MEC's recommendation to demonstrate what it would have done to close to fill that post and demonstrate what kind of development to do. The minister must determine that. Because as it is now, once they completed the first 3 months is not here, what now happens? And it's a vacuum that cannot be left open. Also under Section 2B, we also say exactly what the MEC was then speaking about to an extent, but there are circumstances where it's not necessarily that there needs to be an active municipal manager. The circumstances are not always that a post is vacant. There are other circumstances where you find that there is incapacity, either through through illness or any other issues, processes, there are litigation processes other than a case where the post is vacant. You need to then make a provision for those, because you may appoint, and those processes usually may prolong longer than the 6 months. So in such circumstances, we need to make provision for that as well. I think the other matters that I was speaking to about the process to apply to the minister for longer than 6 months would then have this whole tension. Then under the same section 54, we say when you get to point number under number 5 of section 54A, where it says in the bill, where it says the municipal council must re-advertise the post if there is no suitable candidate who comply with the prescribed requirements. We say in this case the addition should be that the council not find a suitable candidate after they re-advertise the post. So in addition to that statement, the council must elect from the pool of candidates that are applied from both advertising processes and apply to the minister to waive any of the requirements in terms of the skill, expertise, qualifications or competencies that would have been able to find a suitable candidate. The rationale is that we have seen cases where municipalities want to then say we have re-advertised the post twice, now we want to go ahead and we say there is no need to go ahead hunting before. In the many instances where you find that they want to go ahead hunting, many of the candidates that come in themselves have challenges around experience and expertise. So it would have seen that if they have just been included for them to select from that pool of candidates that have applied and demonstrate why they would then need the minister to waive the requirements because of the difficulty of finding those candidates instead of bringing a person altogether outside the process. Under section 7 of this same section 54, that section 7 says the municipal council must inform the MEC. Then B says the MEC must within 14 days of receiving such information the response. But we say the 14 days is quite challenging, first of all, because in our practical implementation of the Act, we find that, first of all, municipalities don't provide all the required information, but then they want the MEC to respond within 14 days. So we're saying, at least here, the MEC must be given 30 days of receipt of all the required information. So all the required information. Because here, you just say the MEC must, on receipt of the information. So here, it must be that it must be clear that it's receipt of all the required information. Assess the appointment and compliance with an applicable regulation and communicate such outcomes to the minister. We would have, just before coming here, we also had a discussion with our legal who were also saying the one of the issues we should as well at least here is to be clear about compliance and say the appointment is subject. The municipality can only finalize the appointment subject to the concurrence of the MEC. Because here, right now we can say the MEC, it means that the municipality finalized the appointment thereafter the MEC provides information. After the appointment, they already signed contract with the employee. So those areas just need to also be addressed. On section number 8 of that Act, where it says if a person is appointed as a municipal manager in contravention of the section, the MEC must within 40 days of receiving information take appropriate steps. Here it says we must remove the 14 days and insert a clause that reads meet at any period of the municipal council that appointed the MM, the MEC becomes aware of information of non-compliance of such appointment. The MEC must take appropriate steps and it follows following that. Because we say the trouble is that the municipalities, there are many instances where municipalities may have provided misleading information in their permit. We have example of such in City of Swan where they would have been the chief of disaster management, who when they have given the appointment information, it looks legit and compliant. But it later on turns out that the candidate and the municipality didn't do proper assessments of the qualifications and those kind of things. And when the matter needs to be addressed, we say that the municipality, the MEC has given the time. But we're saying it's as though the MEC now goes out that if there is any matter that comes thereafter, he can't do anything about it. So in that regard, we're saying at any point without giving to the MEC to that period. Section 10 proposes that it must just be removed. Because it would be taken care of by the insertion that we're proposing under section five above, where we say section 5 must just be expanded to talk about selecting from the advertisement platforms. I hope you can say so. That I think would be it in terms of our inputs with regards to section 50, appendix 54 on municipalities. On the section 56 appointment, we would propose that under section 1 of section 56. Point 1 of section 56, which states that in the case of position is vacant, the MEC's approval, after the MEC's approval of the FTP, the municipality must apply to the minister. This is similar to where we were speaking around the section 54 appointment that states after the first 6 months they start lab. So it's exactly the same process that we must provide for that process where after the first 6 months, there is some kind of closing of that document. At least through the MEC, the minister must make determination based on the different circumstances that would then be displayed around that. So that we don't necessarily regulate the process, but then say it must be determined based on the circumstances around there. The other section, in terms of our input, is also the same, where we say cases of incapacity needs to be taken care of. It's exactly the similar case where cases of incapacity other than a vacant post needs to also be taken care of. I think other than that, many of the cases with regards to 56 are similar to what we have provided for in terms of section 54. So the similar things must apply to those. Under section 57, what we have identified as a problem there is with regards to the employment contract here, the onus is only on the incumbent to demonstrate why they would not have signed an employment contract, which is difficult because it may be a council may make circumstances difficult for incumbent to sign an employment contract and later charge the incumbent for not signing an employment contract. So here we say the amendment or insertion must be failure to comply with a time frame to sign an employment contract. Must be signed, supported by good cause shown and reasons by both the incumbent and the municipality to the MEC and the minister. So here, both incumbents must have the responsibility to demonstrate why employment contracts may not be signed within 60 days as proposed. But also we're saying the section B of section 57(6)(a)(1) must at least be amended to read that the employment contract should be signed by both parties for commencement of service or within 60 days after the termination of the contract. Section 57(9)(b) we propose that it must be removed because it may not necessarily be assisting in terms of that, especially 57(9). This is just only as far as our input, in limited by what is only contained in the bill, would then propose to then be made. But like the IMC would have made a session, is that we must look at the way of how we can, as you know, now look at the entire and minister of the children. But first, even the regulations themselves, with regards to minister of the children, would need quite a extensive work to do that, which is work that we already would have started as well with the National Department of Corporate Government in terms of that. So it's important work that we must give much speech to and bring it so that it assists our municipalities not to operate in the complications that they are in. But also what it also, when we don't amend those, we also create the impression that is always held out there that our municipalities are non-compliant and therefore corrupt. And some of the issues are mainly because of the challenges of implementing some of the things that are becoming quite difficult for municipalities to comply with, and it is our impression that they are actually delinquent to the law, and that they want to sometimes do their own things. Because in our session in housing, we are finding that our municipalities are appointing in the main competent, experienced, and relevant people. But in some of the instances, you find that the non-compliance, if one was to look at it from the ages point, it's not so much the material thing, but it's mainly the periphery issues. But our attitude as a department is we want our municipalities to comply, but in the same way, we want to be able to assist them to have that laws that are practical for them to be working, but also that takes into account what is their working environment, working processes, without necessarily making them to be incumbent and difficult to comply with the laws of the land. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you very much for your presentation. It was very helpful to allow members to ask questions.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and other members of the fellow committee. Let me say again, Chair, I tend to agree with you with the amendment you are proposing under section 54, where you are talking about the period of the concurrence of the MEC, when the MEC is required to give concurrence within 14 days. But my worry is that there is no provision of what happens when the MEC still within the 30 days does not give concurrence. I'll give you a reference of the court case, I think that came out last week. Dube wants to know his head because he knows about that. Of the Andam municipality and the Tonja name for the appointment of the municipal manager. The MEC stayed for more than 14 days without giving concurrence. And, you know, so I think somewhere in the system that must appear what happens if the MEC still does not give the concurrence within a specific 5 period. For example, somewhere they are suggesting that the minister must be made aware of such. Because now, on that court case, it's gone 2 years now, 2 years full, you know, and there is a problem. So, we are going to see now these municipalities and courts are there in that province, going in and out of courts and all that, you know. So, I wanted maybe to suggest that in on that one, we consider, you know, giving it maybe to the Minister of Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs. Because the problem is that when we draft laws, we draft laws for people who think independence is an appropriate. But some of the people who are supposed to implement these policies are actually politicians. They act the way they think it is politically correct for them to do so. If it is, for example, the DA Council and the MPC is a national party administrator. So, obviously, because their clash is political, somehow, somewhere, they will not implement. And we are beginning to, you know, to see changes in the three spheres of government. Because I would say that in that province, what caused that is that those municipalities are governed by a different political party. And the MPC is of a different political party. So, it's just my suggestion. I don't know whether you may consider that. But yes. But I wanted to check if in view of what they are proposing here, it is proper to put that section according to their understanding. Because I think it helps us, you know, it helps me to try and see if that was possible. And also, I think they are correct when they suggest that if the accounting officer or the municipal manager is in for 5 days, the law says council must appoint. But it's practical, it's not practical to appoint an acting municipal manager in 5 days. So I would rather suggest that maybe other than the municipal council, whether ESCO or the accounting officer himself, designate someone to act. But I think maybe ESCO other than council, because ESCO in most of the cases are smaller bodies rather than the municipal council. Maybe they can afford. So I was suggesting that maybe this could be ESCO, because the ESCO may sometimes act on behalf of council and then it is ratified maybe during the municipal council. So I wanted to put those two comments in the chat. Thank you.
Okay, not too much.
I just want to check the reasons for the suggestion of 18 days instead of 14 days. Because my understanding is that in terms of the law, we start from 7 days and then 14 days or 21 days. So where does the 30 days come from? But yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe they just thought that would be one of the days that they are going to include. And also, in terms of the information related to the municipality supplying the department with the wrong information or misinformation, that was a breach of code of conduct. Why those people cannot be charged for doing that if then the evil proof that they're giving or they've misled the provincial legislature. So I'm just a bit worried. I'm from local government anyway. So I think that the issue of Big Brother and the smaller brother sometimes it comes in and it's not healthy, as we're supposed to have a cooperative government and make sure that the smooth working of these three spheres of government is very smooth. And our task here is to make sure that the law allow us to do that properly.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think in the MEC's introductory remarks was for us to look into the entire municipal act and perhaps as a committee, I think, Chair, that we have also make a point and make some sort of pronouncement on what has been said. But the issue with referral to councillors with the example of UDF, I just want to say that I couldn't find it now, I forgot to talk about it last night, that one of the proposals by this bill also is that the municipal code of conduct to be amended to include a provision that will prevent councillors from making a resolution that are in conflict with the legislation. I would argue that that is a good proposal, considering, like we said, the CBS, where a number of municipalities have part regulations, you know, to invest in the for mutual health. So at the end of the day, that has been also beside the MFA. So I just want also some clarity on that, how these two, in terms of, on the other hand, the municipal practice act and as well on the proposal by the bill to speak to one another.
Thank you. Okay. Yes.
I hope and thank you, Honourable Member, for your input, suggestions and comments. Where I may not have responded to all of them, I think the issues would be noted, but I think I would just make an attempt to make further responses on those matters. I think the issue where the MEC has not provided further input, even after whether 14 days, whether 13 days, yes, it happens where it may be a problem, where people are like because of the political say, where the issue about responding politically or not politically becomes a problem. And I agree. One way we could close that is then to be saying if the MEC has not responded within 30 days, the matter must be referred to the minister. The municipality then in that case would not then say that we sent to the MEC has not responded, so it's fine. So that honor that is must be given to the municipality then say if the MEC has not responded in 30 days, the municipality must then apply to the minister. Then if the minister has not responded, then they can say the previous of government has not responded to the issue. Then in that, what we have attempted in our experience in Gauteng
And what we're trying to close on is to let's say if the MEC has not received all the required information. But I think that is not closing. But I think the members are just saying that we're not closing. That with a piece that going forward so that there is another layer of the responsibility to such matter where there's no response. Just to share an experience, we're finding a case where different political parties that are in charge of administration, they play that. We find that in Johannesburg. Johannesburg could not give you the information you want. But then when you ask them, when the MEC goes and say, I'm doing one of these, they say that we gave you information, you didn't respond. But then he says, but no, you didn't, the information that you gave me is not sufficient. Then they have tactics that they play to translate the process. So I think in those cases where this issue is then the owner is given to the manufacturer to then say we have exhausted the process to submit the information and there is no response on that matter, then it will assist the process. I think the members' comment on the issue of the incapacity was just to affirm that they agree with the MEC's assessment about the challenges of incapacity. And I think it's important we must perhaps adopt the suggestion that EXCO or the mayor, which in this case I'll support the EXCO's proposal, to be able to appoint the next municipal manager. Through that, I'm sure there must be quicker processes that EXCO can adopt to appoint the acting municipal manager in case of incapacity leave or other things where the victim may be for a shorter period. Ekurhuleni has a similar matter where they have adopted what we call systems of delegation. In their systems of delegation, they give the power for acting for any period less than 3 months. To the municipal manager to appoint members that are appointed the municipal manager. And they give the power to appoint for any period less than 3 months to the mayor to appoint the MM. But I think here it will maybe be tighter and it will be to EXCO than just the mayor. It will assist us in terms of that. If the municipality has not provided the correction, should they not be charged? Yes, I think that is a challenge, but also what it does is, the trouble with that is that's what we have seen. We play the tactic of not providing information. Then you spend all the time chasing them and saying, where is this information, where is that? But in some instances, because municipalities just don't do what they're supposed to do. Sometimes they just don't verify qualification. Sometimes they don't do the reference check as the regulation requires them to do. And they say we have done verifications, we have done those. Later on when you turn down, you find that those things were not correct because they have not verified whether a candidate meets the criteria. And sometimes you may say that this whether they have done deliberately or because of incapacity, you are not sure. Because there's a case where a candidate will present a qualification that is where a person say I will obtain this qualification outside the country. Simple and good practice say any qualification obtained outside the country must be verified by someone. But municipalities will not do that. They will just accept the qualification. Sometimes they will go to reference check and they will adopt that they will get cancelled. So some of those would be challenging. And then it means that in cases where municipalities don't follow that process, the action left to the MEC is then to nullify the appointment. Because the MEC cannot charge the councillor. It's only for the MEC to then nullify the appointment. But that process means the MEC can only go to court, especially where there's non-cooperation, because in many instances where you were drafting the law, you're assuming that there's cooperation between the spheres of government. But in some instances, in fact, there's no cooperation. The last point on the code of conduct of councillors.
I think it is a useful session in plain clothes to the guest, but perhaps to a limited extent. Because what we have seen is that in some of the instances, especially in cases like VVS, in some instances it becomes now the onus of proof to say who did we not knowingly do that. Because counselors will say we did not knowingly enter that process, nor that this was regular or irregular. I would submit that when we adopt the position of then say counselors cannot take any decisions that are in contradiction with any law and regulation, but also further strengthen those regulations when the guests are clear. Because especially when we know what the guests are in terms of those regulations. And in some instances, like the MEC says, sometimes the MEC is facing a difficult situation where he is in charge of a matter, he's responsible for a matter that is not given the administrative responsibility for. Like this similar case, it's responsible to make sure that the municipality where it functions administratively well, but the financial aspects are sitting outside, but those financial aspects are even outside this committee, because they are sitting in a different end altogether. So there may still be limitations about those certain areas that may sit outside this center. Outside this committee, but we still must find a way of strengthening and tightening those regulations that we are in charge of, for rationalizing the process of that. Thank you, Honourable Minister.
Thank you. One comment.
Starting from all that, at the moment we would not have much especially more so because we believe that the system actually will be over here. It's going to need more substantive amendments than what we are saying now. And if we want to do justice to it, as we do in this short period of time, the main issue now is really the procedural matter that it was not properly done, and therefore it has to be taken from the 57 to 70. And our understanding is that there are then we go into the main substantive, because for now here we know the gaps that are there within the system. And so we believe that there should be much more in-depth analysis of the act, and a whole lot of things might have to change. But of now, it would be very minimal changes that could, like those that are obviously unconstitutional. Maybe we could say, okay, but this is obviously unconstitutional, it doesn't need to be taken care of in future, but we can do it now, you know. But the other salient steps that are there, I would say, when we now look at the Act, after the proper taking and so on, we just need to go into the test of this.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank
you. Just to emphasize the point that was raised by my colleague from the presentation, and also to add in support of Master D.J. as indicated now. Then in April 2017, we met to the resolution that we should form a task team, a national task team, to look at the possible proposed amendments to the entire system act and its regulations. We then formed the task team and we proceeded to have all the inputs from all other provinces, including the nations that have been addressing now, are known to us and are included in the draft proposal amendments to the entire or to the electoral system set. We subsequently met again at the team at a technical level of legal governance to look at that. The intention is, as the DJ has indicated, that once this process is going through, we'll then be going through the process of substantive amendments to the system set. But those other issues will not be related to the amendment that we are bringing forward in relation to adherence to the constitutional court decision. It's a number of array of issues that may not be accommodated in this amendment because of the process that has to be followed, the parliamentary process that has to be followed in terms of your public participation, in terms of your public comment, in terms of engagement, and so on and so forth. Engagement with parliament. And that process that the president has been indicated will then follow soon after this process has been followed.
Okay. I'm Nama Zafa. Where is it? Honorable Board. Okay. Well, why do we have to deal with this matter that's solid? Over the sixth parliament. The sixth parliament has contributed with all the details. This parliament, I think, we have some to deal with the decision of the court. Possible that we have started discussions and agreement with the team that will assist us in some but for the purposes of the court, this is what they are trying to do, just to ensure that we comply with the national court. But at the back of our mind, we know that we have to amend and finalize in these shapes. I think that the parliament is going to be, it's going to be available to do that, and who knows that we'll be here. Think and shape, that is really not here. Also provisions is the part of our system problem. And very important that we improve that way. There's no other team today that wants to make presentation. And we'll then take your second tomorrow in the next presentation. That guy's tomorrow making presentation. He then takes them then to Malaran the correct submitted other team submission. Allow them if there's no other issue. Allow the meeting to adjourn. Where is the agreement? Is there agreement on that?
Hello? The one from Kumala.
No, we can't. And tomorrow, if we allow Tarka and Kate meeting presentation, we can then also do the issue that I have. Charlie,
Yeah.